Hi, it's Leanne Dolan, and my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical, is out now and available everywhere. People magazine chose it as an April pick of the month, one of the best this week. A hopeful take on commitment, they said, and an innovative story about marriage. Sounds juicy. The Marriage Sabbatical, out now, available everywhere.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters. We're happy to be here today. I'm Leanne Dolan in Pasadena, California. I'm a writer, I'm a mom, and I'm happy to be here today. Am I repeating myself? We've already had some technical issues. Liz, we're happy you're here, and you can hear us and speak into the microphone at the same time. Exciting news.
I'm Liz Dolan. I'm in Santa Monica. For a little behind the scenes, the last thing I heard here at Satellite Sisters was Julie saying, maybe you should just throw your phone out the window. So that's kind of where we are today.
That's right. This is Julie Dolan. I'm the oldest sister. I'm in my closet in Dallas, Texas. And I like to give that sort of high level technical advice when we run into glitches on the show. I'm happy to be here too.
We all are.
Big thanks to Sergio Enriquez, who always keeps us cool. Our engineer in an offsite location, he doesn't mind that we're freaking out every time something doesn't work. So thank you, Sergio. Today on the show, we have, what do we have? Well, let's see. Julie, your husband is going back to the office. He's at work. So yeah, the things have opened up here in Texas.
Yeah.
And things, it's kind of squishy. I guess that's the way I describe it. And I want to tell you about my philosophy on dealing with the squishy world in front of me.
All right, good. Because the state's opened up. People want to know. People want to know what the policy is. And apparently we're just on our own. So Liz, you have a listener letter that actually, did it come to our inbox? Is that how it is?
Yes. Because we now have a functional inbox, Mary, who's a longtime listener, sent me an email related to something we were talking about a couple of weeks ago on the show. And it's all about supporting the businesses that are in business and her daughter. So I'm going to share a little bit of that because it sort of, when you think about where should you shop, how should you shop, it's good to have the insights into the people that are working at some of these places. So you'll hear that.
We're going to talk a little college admissions and college and high school graduations. There are lots of decisions being made now and things that are supposed to be happening and things that aren't. And we know a lot of satellite sisters and misters have kids in that age bracket. So, I just have a very personal observation about being the mom of a 2020 grad. But Julie, you're bringing some facts to the table. So,
right. I mean, this is going to be a big issue, ongoing issue for colleges and universities. And there's some news out this week that is just, it's not going to work. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
You heard it here first. Okay. It's just not going to work. Okay.
Liz, you have a fun story that involves a theme park, and I just don't want to give it away. I don't even know the story. I'm not familiar with it. So I'm looking forward to your reportage.
Okay. I'll just say this, Leanne, Swiss Family Robinson Fantasy. That's all.
Oh, wow. Really?
That's all.
Exciting. We have Cooking with Liz. We have the Blueberry Muffin episode. And then we have a new date for our Washington, D.C. event. Good news is you have plenty of time to plan. Yeah. Plenty of time. And then we have some entertaining sisters. But first, I just want to thank everybody. Oh, Joel, you had something.
Just an update. You might recall a couple of weeks ago, Liz, you were talking about corona trends that you were seeing in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And one of the trends that you have identified as you were walking around were that people had bought trampolines, correct?
Yes.
And puppies. Those seem to be the two big things. Mm-hmm. Well, my son and daughter-in-law totally caved in to the pressure from their three kids. They want to get a trampoline now. But here's the problem. There's a trampoline shortage in America. You can't cannot get a trampoline. Okay. They are back ordered until July. My daughter-in-law tried like 10 different outlets, trampoline.com, everything. There aren't any trampolines. Okay. Well, we have a meat shortage and now we have a trampoline shortage.
I did have an insight about this, Julie, because in the Sweeney Sisters, Leanne, I believe, aren't they the family in the neighborhood with a trampoline? Is that true?
Yes.
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 So, and most neighborhoods had one family with one trampoline and we all went and we trampolined there. Right. But now, right. Now, because of social distancing, everyone needs their own trampoline. That's what's making the difference. Your kids can't go to the house in the neighborhood with the trampoline. So it's trampolines for everybody, which is leading to obviously trampolines for not enough people.
Yeah, we have a serious trampoline shortage. So if you know where there is a trampoline in North Texas that my daughter-in-law can get her hands on, well, I'd be very grateful. Okay.
Yeah, I predict, Julie, as kids start bouncing off the trampoline and breaking their arms, there's going to be a secondary trampoline market. So just wait a month. A couple of ER visits, some trampolines are going to open up, I feel like.
Okay.
Liz, thank you. That's good recall from the Sweeney Sisters. Yes, there's a trampoline in that book because that was such an allure. There's no possible way our mother would have ever bought a trampoline for us.
Yeah.
But there was a trampoline in our neighborhood and we didn't even knock. We just wander onto people's lawns and start jumping on their trampoline. Like that's the way it was before personal liability laws. And things
like that. It's true. It's true.
But I do want to thank everybody for really participating and making the launch of my new book, The Sweeney Sisters, so fun. I had a really fun day last Tuesday, which I did not think was in the cards, frankly. A couple of weeks ago, things were looking grim. But everybody who's bought the book and supported it and logged on to the interviews I did or the Instagrams I did, I mean, the barrage of photos of you and your book and your blueberry muffins on the Satellite Sisters Facebook page have just made me so happy. So many, many thanks. That was just a much better day than I thought it was going to be. And a really nice way to launch this book into the world. So I really appreciate it.
That's so great. Well, people are so happy for you and they're enjoying the book. They are really enjoying the book.
That's the other really excellent thing, Liz. Thank you for bringing that up. There's been some good legit reviews and then a lot of great word of mouth, which literally is just the kind of publicity you can't pay for. So I'm just so happy people enjoy it. You know, you put something out into the world and people could not enjoy it. And people like to tell you about that. So, I mean, the most terrifying place for a writer is Goodreads. It's terrifying. Believe me, like it's the last place you want to go and see reviews of your book. It's just it makes your palms sweat or like the Amazon reviews. Oh my gosh. You know, I can't even look. So just the fact that people seem to genuinely be enjoying it. And particularly at this time, the word escape or tear through it or took me out of the real world for a while. Those are all fantastic adjectives. So I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to mention, I am going to be doing some more virtual events. So you know what that means, sisters, more tunic tops for me.
That's good. I hope in a jewel tone color, as we already discussed on the show.
Julie, no, I feel like I have paved the way for wearing clothes that match the book cover. So my book cover is not jewel tone. It's a beautiful navy with floral. People are seeing that pattern everywhere and posting those. Great. I have a tunic coming tomorrow I'm excited about. I will employ this week. I'm doing one Facebook Live on the 6th. It's for the Pequot Library page. That's the library in the book, in my hometown library, and I'm excited about that. So I'll put all this information. It's on my author page. It's on the Leanne Dolan Facebook page, and I'll also be posting it on the Satellite Sisters Facebook pages. But that's Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern. That's a Facebook Live, and I'm really looking forward to that. And then on an Instagram account, I'm giving a tour of my office.
Oh, wow.
That's exciting.
What's the state of your office, Leanne? Because I've been in your office when you're working. And,
yeah.
So how is it going over there?
Yeah, I need to do some cleanup because this is a 360 tour of the office. And I have to admit, on all these virtual things, I've been fudging the view. You just get the sliver of the office that's in good shape. I just have a lot of things coming in and out. Things are happening. I mean, yeah. I got stuff, you know, I'm working, I'm signing.
Yes, it is a working office.
Yeah.
So
it's not an office for show. I work in it. So I'll be doing that. And then next week on May 14th, I'm actually going to be on with a satellite mister, longtime satellite mister, Ron Block. He is, I believe, one of the most powerful librarians in America, because he was just named a mover and shaker by the American Library Association. And we're going to be doing an online event May 14th. So I will get the details and the links and the registration and put that all up. But I'm excited. He's a legit satellite mister. He was an early reader of the book and has really been a great champion. So that's all that coming up.
Super enthusiastic. I love seeing comments from Ron.
Yes, I know. And now you know.
I didn't know he was a very influential librarian.
Yes.
I thought he was super enthusiastic satellite mister. Okay, Ron.
Right. No, at the Cuyahoga Public Library in Ohio. Yeah. And he runs this incredible speaker series. And now he's doing a bunch of online events to replace their speaker series. It looks like an incredible public library with a million resources. How great is that? And so details to follow. But again, many, many thanks for your enthusiasm. If you love the book, I'd love for you to share the book with share the word about the book. Keep your own copies, people. but feel free to share your pictures.
So. Yeah, they're great. Just keep them coming. They all look good. It's, you know, it's a delight to open up the Facebook page, Leanne. Well, Leanne, it sounds like you're going to be very busy in your office, like, you know, doing all of these online interviews and all of that. But here in Texas, the governor has sort of opened things up here. So we're stepping out in the world. Texas has opened up a bit. Stores are open. Restaurants can be open with 25% capacity. Movie theaters can be open with 25% capacity. Malls, stores. You still can't get a haircut and you can't get your nails done. No mani-pedis yet, but there is a lot of opening up. People are out and about. It's a lot busy. You know, you can just tell there's more traffic. You know, people are doing it. And my husband went back to work. He went back to an office. I mean, he's been working. I mean, he had the privilege of working at home during the stay-at-home orders. But now he and his company, they are back in an office. And, you know, it just made us, we've had a lot of discussion about it, like, you know, just, you know, what are the federal laws? What are the state laws? What are the Dallas County laws? Because those are still a little tighter than the whole state of Texas. But I think you get to a point where you just have to, like, take personal responsibility as we sort of venture out into this squishy world, you know, that, I'll just say it as our mother used to say it. I am no spring chicken, right? I mean, you know, I'm the oldest sister. Mm-hmm. So I'm in a sort of the higher risk category. Okay. And, you know, I think you just have to think about what you're going to do, even if you are, you know, nobody's telling you you can't do it, right?
You know, so what will you do, Julie? Would you actually go to a movie theater?
No, I'm not ready to do that. That's part of my personal responsibility. I'm still keeping my
code.
Yeah, I'm still keeping my pod very tight because I have a responsibility there. Like, yeah. My son and daughter-in-law are counting on me for, you know, for teaching at least through the end of this month. And I'm sure other babysitting assignments, you know, into the future. So I don't want to get sick and I don't want to put myself in a position where I can't help, out. So I can pass up on the movie theaters. I can pass up on in restaurant dining. I still want to do takeout because I want to support restaurants. I want to go into shops because I want to support local retail. But I want to make sure that I'm always wearing a mask, that I have very strong, you know, hand washing protocol, that I have my social distancing. And I do believe I have really perfected the stink eye, like what you don't have a face mask on. I have got that down. But my personal responsibility is to wear the mask. And if someone gets too close to me, I'm going to step away. Okay. I'm just not going to put myself in a position where, you know, I don't feel safe, but I'm going to trying to get out in the world, trying to do a little more. So, but I think that, yeah. But nobody, you know, the county, the city, the state, they're not going to tell me specifically what I can do and what I can't do. everybody's going to have to make some choices to keep themselves safe. That's what I think.
Well, here in California, it's a little bit different because we still have stay at home. But also they've said even when they say open up the stores, the first step will be curbside pickup. It yep. won't be come on into a retail environment. It will be they will allow people to be selling things, but you won't be browsing in shops. But that's what made me when I noticed the listener letter from Mary. This is all related to this conversation we started a couple of weeks ago about how do you support businesses? How do you be personally responsible but also support small businesses? And what Mary wrote to us, she said, this last week you were talking about all the ads in your email to buy clothes and swimsuits, and you mentioned, why should we do this if we're all at home? Please remember how many millions are employed with the designing, production, and sales of clothing. These are very difficult times for many businesses. So if you have the income to continue buying clothing online, it would greatly support many jobs. She goes on to explain, this is near to our heart as our daughter works for Ralph Lauren in New York City, lives in the East Village, and is on a 7-week furlough. When it's done, who knows? So then Mary puts in an extra plug for the women's polo line. Apparently, that's...
Oh, yeah. All right.
So, okay.
Well, you get to a point, you do want to support retail. You do want to support yeah. restaurants, Leon, independent bookstores. You know, you want them to open up, even if it's, for, you know, however they can. But yeah. we all want to do it safely, you know. But we all have to take personal responsibility to be safe and to practice safe stuff. You know,
yeah, that's... I feel like for me, the best way that I can protect other people is by staying in. So I'm grateful that I can do this. I work mainly from home. I can, you know, I've been trying to only go to the store once a week. So, but I do want to support businesses. So you think about the trade-off between doing that so people have their jobs and asking people, when I think about the businesses themselves, I don't want to put people in a position where they have to go to work because I'm demanding some kind of service. And I was thinking about it, especially as it relates even to a company like Amazon. And for me, what's changed is that it used to be that, you know, the main thing Amazon could do for me was get something there within 24 hours. Now, not so much. Do I care about the 24 hours? No. But do I care more about what's going on in those Amazon warehouses and if their workers are safe? Yes, I do. So that's where I've really kind of opened my mind to how I'm making my choices about the businesses to support, because if they're keeping it safe for their employees, then I am happy to shop with them. That's sort of my thing.
Well, I can tell you, Liz, a friend of mine's son is working a couple of days a week at a big Amazon warehouse, and she feels like they're doing a really good job.
Right.
You know, he's in his 20s and she is okay. She's comfortable with him working there. So that's, you know, I can report back on that. Hey, my feeling is I've already been in the hospital twice this year. I've been in for a big operation and then a really stressful emergency room visit over Christmas. I'm keeping my mask on. I'm keeping my gloves on. I'm keeping my head down until there is a vaccine. And that's the way I feel. I am very sorry, Hall & Oates. If you carry on with your concert at the Hollywood Bowl in May, I won't be there. And I'm sorry about that.
Is that happening?
They have not officially canceled it yet, Liz. So they haven't officially canceled, you know, the whole season at the Hollywood Bowl. And, you know, Hall, Oates and Squeeze. I'm sorry to miss that. But I'm just keeping my head down and doing what I'm told and really trying to limit my activities, but supporting what I can, you know, support. So but it's a tough call because all of a sudden I'm getting a lot of invites to do big speaking engagements or like luncheons and stuff in the fall. And I'm like, I'm going to have to think about that. It's tricky.
It's squishy. That's what it is. And everybody's going to have to, you know, we're going to have to figure this out. But it does start at some point with your own personal responsibility.
Right.
You know, to take care of yourself and to take care of your family, your pod, whatever that is. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Joe, you must have really, really evocative eyes if you've figured out how to give someone the stink eye.
What you do is you lower your chin, okay, and you cock one eye. That with the face mask on, I think it is an effective stink eye. I gave that to a man at the UPS store. I had to go in there, you know, He wasn't wearing a mask. That was crazy. Gets the stink up. Yeah, that's it.
Early on, I heard
When I was in my neighborhood grocery store, this is like 5 days ago now, the cashier is also like the boss of the whole store. And somebody tried to walk in without a mask on. And he stopped him at the door and sent him back. And there was a little bit of a, you know, back and forth. And then he turned back to me. He said, "I've noticed there is a correlation between people who don't wear masks and day drinking."
Okay. Now that's some scientific study. Let's follow the science. Okay, right. Cut out the day drinking.
Yep, at the front door of his grocery store, that's what he has observed. So anyway, I thought that was funny.
All right, we're going to take a break here to thank a sponsor, and then we'll be back.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo. Yes. You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
All right, sisters, this weekend, it hit me. So my son, Colin, is a 2020 grad, and his school is on the quarter system. So technically, he does not graduate till mid-June. So he's still actively in his last term of college. He's still living in Olympia, Washington, because he lives in a studio apartment there. And because he's on the staff this year, he's doing an internship / student thing. He's actually like teaching, and they're online teaching and running seminars and webinars. So he's still up there living alone and self-isolating. But they did cancel his graduation, and they moved it to a virtual graduation. And I knew it was coming, but it just got to me a couple of weeks ago. And now I see a lot of schools who graduate in late April and May. People are starting to post online about, you know, people in their full graduation regalia, like standing in their living rooms. And Maria Shriver, in her Sunday newsletter, she wrote a column about her son's graduation, which was online, and how they Zoomed it. And she was crying, and then I'm crying. And then I grabbed a bunch of Mother's Day cards at the grocery store. So they're not high quality cards, but they're ample cards. And I thought I'd mail some to my friends who I knew had 2020 grads, the moms I've known from Colin's class, you know, for 12 years. And that made me cry when I was filling out the cards. I know it's not the end of the world. And I know graduations can be big, overblown things, but it just really is just getting to me that there's not going to be one little moment where you can celebrate as a family together. It's such an odd sensation of just drifting off. Mm-hmm. And Julie, it made me think about the essay you wrote many years ago about, like, it's kind of your last chance to stand up and cheer for your kid. Like, they're right. 22 now, or 23, 24, whatever. Like, you don't get, it's done. Like,
yeah,
that part
don't get
of
many,
like,
more occasions yeah. to really whoop it up and cheer and, you know, get out that air horn, even though you're not supposed to bring them to graduations and do all of that. Yeah. And maybe shed a tear or two, you know,
it's yeah.
You don't have that sense of closure. You don't have that sense of celebration, certainly, you know, about that big day. And that sense of drifting. I think that's a good word for it. Yeah. Here in Texas, of course, you know, everybody has signs on their front lawn that say 2020 grad. And, you know, you think about each of those houses that, you know, that person, it won't be the same, you know.
Particularly at Collins School. Well, there's a lot of schools where, I mean, he goes to a state college, Evergreen in Olympia, Washington, but they have a very large percentage of military people that end up at the school because there's so many bases in Washington. They have a large First Nations group there. You know, they have a lot of students. It's not a typical student body. There are a lot of students that come back and go back to school in their late 20s. They have, you know, cons in class with single mothers. And so the graduation is a really big deal for people who have first in their families to graduate or really sacrificed a lot to be there. So it's kind of breaking my heart a little bit. And so I shout out to all the 2020 moms and parents, because it does take a lot.
Oh yeah. Right. Yep. To get him all the way through high school and college. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I know. I
mean, so you're sending Mother's Day cards to the mothers of grads.
Yes.
Oh, that's so nice.
Well, you know, Liz, in my quest to
single-handedly
save the post office, and I mean, and that's been a long time mission of mine. I'm not a bandwagoner. I mean, come on. We have a lot of postal workers who listen to the show, and we always have, because we were on satellite radio. We have all those people who've been delivering mail in rural Montana for years who listen to the show. So I'm sending them cards, but it just has really struck me. I know there's a lot going on in the world, and of course they'll move on with their lives, but that also is just, graduation is a launch and a celebration, and to not have that, I would love to hear what other people are doing that has been successful in sort of celebrating the moment, because I can't think of anything. Right. I'm out of ideas.
Well, we'll definitely send Colin a card. He still gets a graduation card from all of us.
Okay, so. It was a point.
Put us down for a card. No doubt. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, graduations or, you know, summer orientations, and, you know, I think for colleges and universities, I've read a number of articles that this is really a very existential experience for them, because it's so uncertain about whether or not they're going to be able to resume classes, whether they're going to be able to have students live, you know, in college dorms, if that's going to be safe, or if they go to a completely online academic degree. How do you differentiate, like, a Harvard from a University of Phoenix? I mean, this is really a very big moment in time for higher education. Lots of people working on this. But, you know, one of the other parts of it is the college admissions. Sisters, you know, longtime listeners, you know, I started, you know, my career in college admissions. And I was really struck by an article I saw this week from the National Association of College Admissions Counselors. This is all the high school college counselors. There's a national professional organization. They are openly criticizing the College Board and ACT. So the two groups that put on the standardized tests that you take to go to college, because they're now going to offer, you know, take the standardized tests at home. And this poses, as the college counselors put, a lot of reliability issues. I mean, if people could take, you know, a high stakes test in your own house, how are you going to know if they're not cheating or not? You're never going to know that. And if it's only offered online, that definitely puts students who don't have access to computers or to the internet, whether they live in cities or in rural areas. So this really puts, you know, a number of groups of students at a clear disadvantage. So it may mean that the standardized tests that have been so essential for college admissions for so many years now can't be used, you know, or won't be used by colleges and universities. I mean, I don't, it is just all part of the disarray that we're in right now. And once you stop using the standardized tests, for example, for, you know, rising high school seniors this year, maybe, I mean, would you ever go back to it? Would colleges right. ever go back to it? I don't know, you know, or which of these changes that we're making to accommodate COVID will become permanent and which ones won't. I think that's what a lot of colleges and universities are working out.
Well, it's because there's been such an issue with those tests anyways, in terms of are they fair, what do they prove? And there are lots of colleges that don't use them anyway.
Right.
And I 100% believe people would cheat. Don't you, Joel?
Well, it's a high-stake test.
Yes.
I was thinking of everyone involved with the Varsity Blues case.
Yes.
That is sitting in prison, and they're thinking, oh, if I just waited one more year, I could have cheated on the test at home, and it would have been fine, you know?
Oh, my God.
Okay, that was a little black humor. I'm sorry.
It's okay. No, we need some of that. It is true, just such an interesting challenge for colleges across the board, like, what do they need to do to adjust their admissions process? They're coming back in the fall. You know, it's really super challenging. I work a lot with the University of Oregon because I've been working on sporting events that were planned there for this summer, which are now no longer happen. And I see them wrestling with how are they going to welcome students back in the fall? It's just, it is probably one of the biggest institutional things getting disrupted right now for the average person. It'll be very challenging. What would you do?
And I think, Liz, once one college has announced what they're doing, others will fall. You know, I think everyone's playing a little bit of a game of chicken. Like, they're waiting for one college to go, you know what? We're going all online in the fall. Because there's been a lot of hedging. I went to Pomona College, which is a small liberal arts college, and deep in an article buried in the LA Times, I heard the president, Gabrielle Starr, she was quoted as saying, well, maybe we'll just have freshmen and transfers on campus, but not upperclassmen. Like, that's one scenario we're thinking about for the fall, so we can, you know, spread out people in dorms and things like that. So, yeah, it's a lot of questions, and I think it will change colleges forever. But maybe that's okay at this point. I think college admissions is nuts. So that's my professional opinion. But it does leave these, you know, a lot of families in limbo.
I know, in flux. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you've spent years forcing your child to take practice SAT tests, you'd be so mad.
You know, the other thing is colleges and universities employ a lot of people.
Right.
And part of the calculation as well, too. So.
Right. Yeah. I know USC is the biggest employer in Los Angeles.
I know. So these are, you know, these are very complicated decisions.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you may or may not be able to go to college in the fall. Another place you may or may not be able to go is Disney World. But on a lighter note, I saw this headline in the paper the other day that was man's Disney World quarantine cut short. And there's like a mugshot photo with it. He looks suspiciously like Nick Nolte.
Yes, he does, Liz.
But his name is Richard J. McGuire. And he was arrested for camping on Discovery Island. So basically, he was trying to have kind of a Swiss Family Robinson adventure. He's from Alabama, but he took a boat over to Discovery Island and was thinking he might just camp out for a while. And that's just super not allowed. And of course, they saw him. So they managed to find him on the island. And he said he didn't realize he wasn't allowed there, even though there are, of course, giant no trespassing signs. But anyway, so that part of the story was interesting to me. But then when I dug in, it got even more interesting, because many of you may know this because you're Disney Files. I did not know this, but Discovery Island has been closed since 1999. So it was abandoned. And it has been allowed to become just this like overgrown, weird place where there's all of the old features of when it was an actual Disney resort. But now everything is caved in, vines are wrapped around things. And the reason I know this is because there is a whole subgenre of YouTube videos, sisters. It's a whole subgenre of abandoned theme parks.
You really did a lot of research on this topic, Liz. Way to go.
Got some time on my hands. So yeah, abandoned things in general is a whole thing on YouTube, like abandoned cruise ships, abandoned resorts, abandoned mansions. But abandoned theme parks, you can imagine, are particularly creepy. There's even one video called Top 10 Creepy Abandoned Theme Parks. So, but when I was first fantasizing about what it would be like to just camp out on, you know, a Disney tropical island, it reminded me, remember the book From the Files of Mrs. Basil E. Frank Wheeler? Did you guys read that?
Mm-hmm. Where, yes, of course. Yeah.
So the kids sneak into the Metropolitan Museum and they hide out there and they live in the Metropolitan Museum and they like bathe in the fountain. And that's when they realize there are coins on the bottom of the fountain. So that's how they pay for their food, all of that. So so I've always had this, you know, Mrs. Basil E. Frank Wheeler kind of fantasy. And thinking about camping out on a Disney island, if it hadn't been abandoned 18 years ago, would be super fun. They even had a snack bar. Now that I've looked at all the videos, the snack bar was called Thirsty Perch. So that sounds fun, doesn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right. Perfect to make a rum punch there, Liz. Yeah.
So I thought, if I was ever alone, like in a Disney park, where would I want to be and what would I really want to do? And I think I would want to drive that Jungle River Cruise around a little bit. I think.
I can see you, Liz, as a boat driver. It's right up your alley.
I mean,
all the jokes. I think you would enjoy that. Yeah.
I know, it's the dumbest jokes and the things just popping up. I'm not sure anything pops up if it's all turned off, and anything with the water slide might not be working anyway. But I think we all have our Swiss Family Robinson fantasy. Mine might be more of a Jungle Cruise, but for Richard J. McGuire, it was Discovery Island. And the poor guy's now, he's now in custody. Not going to happen.
Nice try. I like the house at Pooh Corner there at Disneyland. That's a nice little area of the park. It's sort of tucked away down there where Pooh Bear and all his friends live. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I want Country Bear Jamboree. I love that whole world over there. Yeah. Very happy.
Super happy. Yeah.
You know, you just can't beat it. Small World, still a favorite. You could just cruise around in those boats for a while too. Yeah,
that would be fun. Small World would be, yes. Or Pirates of the Caribbean would also be. That looks like a good time.
When you're
by yourself, yeah, you can move around. Yeah.
Okay. Really quickly, I did see in the LA Times an article about how bird watching now has become a favorite of people in stay-at-home world. Like, they're tired of looking down at their screens, and they've somehow discovered that watching birds and tracking birds on their phone and taking pictures of birds is great. It's just opened up the whole world to them. Stop looking at your screens and look up. And I just like to say, I have been bird watching, but just one bird. We have... one bird. We have a crow in our neighborhood. Yeah. And my son Colin did a report on crows in the fourth grade. And you know, when kids do reports, then they proceed to tell you everything about crows for the rest of their life. You know what I mean? If they have to do, like, Brooks did a report on Ohio. So I know more about Ohio than most people. And Colin felt that way about crows because they're very smart birds. But I noticed, like, 6 weeks ago, we had a crow in our neighborhood and he has a white patch on his wing and it's kind of crooked. So it looks like he was injured or something. But that's how I know it's the same crow. And you guys, he is just walking around the neighborhood. He's not even bothering to fly anymore. Just look out. And like, he's just wandering around the street. There are no cars. He's just, the other day I look out, he's on my front porch. The crow is just standing on my front porch. And I told my husband, I was like, you see that crow? I've got my eye on him. So now he comes home from the office where he goes alone. And my husband's like, what happened with the crow today? I'm like, well, let me tell you what happened with the crow.
Are you feeding the crow, Lynn? Have you started?
No. Okay. No, but we have a bird bath out front. He's been enjoying the bird bath. I mean, he's living the life, this crow. He's in no hurry. He's just wandering around the neighborhood, walking from house to house. I love it. I suggest it. Get yourself a bird is what I suggest for this week 10 of quarantine. All right, sisters. So here's the deal. Remember when we announced with great joy and glee in our voices that we were going to be doing a 20th anniversary show in Washington, D.C. at 6th and I, and it was going to be May 17th, and all of us were going to be there, and it was going to be great. Remember that?
I remember that. That was going to be great. And the people at 6th and I were so excited. We were psyched. And many of
the sisters were excited. People were coming. Yeah.
Yes. So, but then we realized that that was not going to happen. And we have rescheduled the event. The new date for the event is June 13, 2020. Mm-hmm. June, 2021. I'm sorry. That was the big buildup for the wrong date. June 13th, 2021. June 13, 2021. So here's what we want you to know. If you are holding tickets for the May 17th event, this is what we got from 6th and I. That is the organization that was selling the tickets. It's an event space, but it's a temple in Washington, D.C., and they put on great events, and we're very happy to be there. They were selling the tickets. So here's what you need to know from 6th and I. Tickets for the May 17 show will be automatically honored for the new date, and no action is required. If you had tickets to the show in May 2020 and cannot attend the rescheduled show in 2021, please consider allowing the value of your ticket to act as a tax-deductible donation to support our nonprofit operation during this difficult time. All buyers will be contacted by 6th and I. If you need to obtain a refund because they can't make it to the 2021 date, they'll contact you through Eventbrite. Okay, so that's what's happening. If you have the tickets and you're going to let it roll for 2021, that would be great. Just hold on to them. They'll be honored. If not, consider a donation, but you'll be getting information on a refund if that's what you wish. So that's it. June 13th, 2021.
Okay. I'm adding that to my calendar. It's the first thing I've booked for 2021. Very excited. And we've let Monica and Sheila know, right? They're all in 2021.
Yeah, they're in. I told them, save the date. Hold on to it. Save the date. So that's what's happening.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. Mm-hmm. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon neutral custom beauty brand. So PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled P-R-O-S-E. pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros.
Okay, that's great. That is exciting news. Well, okay, let's get to a quick recap of this week's Cooking with Liz, which happens there in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group. So this week's assignment was, it was a Sweeney sister salute because it was Leanne's launch week for the book. So our mother, Edna Dolan, her blueberry muffins make a cameo in the Sweeney sisters. And there's just an amazing 4th of July party scene in the book where a lot happens in that scene, Leanne.
A lot happens.
A lot goes on 4th of July. And so, of course, blueberry muffins are part of the 4th of July festivities. So I made the blueberry muffins according to mom's recipe. And on the cooking front, I think I nailed it. I think I learned the number one lesson, which is that there's no eyeballing in baking. And with the help of the live audience, they caught me. Ooh, they caught me at the last.
They saved you, Liz. They saved you.
Saved me, Julie. Because I was about to put the muffins in the oven without putting the sugar on top, and that would have been disastrous. But anyway, you saved me, all of you who are watching on Facebook Live. And then, so that was a test batch. That was the other big new feature of Cooking with Liz, is that I actually made a test batch on Saturday. So, and then with the test batch, there was a contactless delivery to Liam's, which I just thought somebody should eat the test batch. And so Leanne, I dropped those by your house. So what did you think?
I can say that they were delicious, Liz. I mean, they were just, you know, that's a great recipe because it's not super sweet. But a couple of keys, like you followed the recipe, and that really that really matters. Took some heat last week because I called you out for not following the recipe. But, you know, cooking is chemistry. And there are, you know, there are amounts and there are preparations in there for a reason, because those, you know, bakers and recipe developers, they work hard. You followed the recipe, you measured, you had the right proportion. Again, very important proportions of blueberries to muffin.
Great.
Right, which was important. And then when I saw that there was sugar on top, I was shocked, because I thought for sure you would forget the sugar. I was like, that's going to be, she's not going to be able to handle the sugar.
That's going to be her Waterloo.
It is. Again, because it's the reading and the notes and like, but you pulled it all, you pulled it all up, and they were delicious. They're just the right size. They're not too sweet. It's a perfect little taste treat, that muffin. It's a great recipe.
No, that's true. Thank you. Thank you. I felt like I worked hard on the blueberry to muffin ratio.
It's proportions are everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you got it. You nailed it.
So anyway, so then I came home and I made the made for TV batch, which I thought looked even better. And my guest taster on Sunday was Sheila Dolan, who showed up at Liz's tasting window, and she seemed to really enjoy them. And she even commented on the fact, Leanne, that they're not too sweet, sort of just sweet enough, but not too sweet. So anyway, Julie, I know you were watching the finale. Anything, any comments you had on the finale?
Well, I think the thing is, Liz, that these muffins are part of our childhood memory. Our mom used to make them on the 4th of July. So my question to you is, when you ate the muffin, and this was the first time that you actually ate on Cooking with Liz, that you were eating what you made, did the muffins taste the way you remembered?
Oh, good questions. Yes, but remember, often when we would eat them, we would be at the beach for a big party, you know, so obviously we're all prisoners in our home, so I didn't have that part of it going on. But yeah, it tasted super, like the strong blueberry flavor, because so many blueberries. Yeah, I enjoyed that part of it. And I did enjoy making something that mom used to make all the time, or that we used to help mom make, right?
Right, right. Yeah, you were never in charge of those. I could bake those for mom, but I don't think you ever got that assignment. You were on like celery sticks or carrot sticks.
I think
nothing personal, Liz.
That's probably true. So I feel like this first whole bunch of Cooking with Liz's, where, you know, I was trying out some more ambitious things and doing the fundamentals, I feel like, okay, we're done with that, and I'm going to move on with my concept. So my concept, because making the blueberry muffins was, you know, really emotionally satisfying, and there are a lot of stories that go with that, as I continue with Cooking with Liz, my theme is going to be to do some family favorites, because it's especially fun to make and talk about. And whether it's all of our families now, what we make, or what our family, you know, things we made when we were kids. So for this coming Sunday, Julie, I was wondering, can you think of a family favorite that you make or that we had that you would want to suggest to me?
Well, I do, Liz. I have a suggestion for you, because this was in permanent rotation at the Dolan family growing up. And that is a meatloaf, Liz. Mm. Okay. And I want to recommend the Barefoot Contessa turkey meatloaf. This was one of Mom's favorite recipes. But the other thing about a meatloaf, why it was so good for a mother with 8 children, is that she would make the meatloaf and then she'd take 8 baked potatoes and she could stick it all in the oven and it would all cook at the same time. And there she had a dinner. With some vegetables, obviously, okay, on the side. So I think a meatloaf, I would suggest you get some smaller loaf pans so you can do it to the scale of a single person. Yes. You can make multiple small meatloaves. It's good hot. It's good cold. If you use turkey, then, you know, it's lower in fat. So that would be my recommendation, because you ate a lot of meatloaf growing up, and it may bring back some very fond memories of dinner around the table in Connecticut on Cross Highway.
Okay. All right. So details to come. If you join the Satellite Sisters Facebook group, then you can always see my production schedules, and I will post there like when you'll be able to see the episodes live. But that's it. This weekend, turkey meatloaf. So, yay. Okay. Thanks, you guys.
Okay. Good luck.
Good luck. You good luck. Again, good
Liz,
luck.
You can call me. You can call me if you have any questions. Get the recipe. You've got a good technique now. We're happy to guide you through this. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, sisters.
I know it's the time of the show when we're going to talk about entertaining sisters. And I just want to recommend 2 online nature tours to both of you and to all of the Satellite Sisters. If you need a small, like, mood boost and you can't go to a beautiful garden or you can't go into the forest, I would like to recommend the Brooklyn Botanic Garden. They're online. They have a video, 25-minute video, virtual tour of their cherry blossoms. And it is absolutely beautiful. First of all, very high quality production. Whoever did this is like a first class filmmaker or something, because it is beautiful and it's just transporting. If you just need a little tranquility during your day, go to their website and watch the virtual tour of their cherry blossoms. They're all right in bloom right now. And they're exquisite. This is one of my favorite places in New York. I've spent a lot of time there with my granddaughters, but this little video is good. Closer to home, the Dallas Arboretum. Leanne, you've been there with me to the
yes,
Dallas
gorgeous.
Arboretum. Is an absolutely magnificent botanic garden and arboretum. And they have some wonderful tours there. I just watched the Lay Family Center tour of it's one section of the garden, and they explain how they plant it and how it's just beautiful. So we haven't made those kind of recommendations for entertainment. I would highly recommend this. You may have a beautiful arboretum or garden near you. There's plenty others out there, but those are 2 that I really liked.
Okay.
Well, we haven't been this desperate for entertainment. So
these are really will lift your spirits.
Sounds great. Yeah, sounds fantastic. I will definitely check both of those out. I mean, cherry blossoms are gorgeous. So, all right. Good. Thank you, Julie. Thank you.
All right. Well, my entertaining sisters is that I did devote a lot of time over the weekend to finishing up a series I love, which was Homeland. Many of you know that this was the eighth and final season of Homeland. This is a story with so many ups and downs. Carrie the spy, Saul the spy handler, and many, many things going on. So I was watching, I watched the final four episodes, including the series finale, over the weekend. But Leon, I mentioned to you that I was trying to wrap up Homeland, that that was my number one goal for the weekend. And you reminded me that you knew that a whole bunch of this season had been filmed right in your neighborhood, right?
Right. I don't watch the show because Showtime is pretty much the only channel in existence that we don't pay for. So I've never watched Homeland, but they were shooting on our street for 3 weeks, which is a really long shoot. Usually shoots come in for a day or two, and we have tons of TV and film shot in our neighborhood. But they were set up 3 weeks. They had totally blacked out this house. They had 24/7 security on set, which is really unusual. And so I was wondering, like, what could they have used it for?
Okay. Well, you told me to keep my eyes peeled, and I did, and you were right. My goodness. For those of you who have seen the final two episodes of Homeland, when Carrie is now living at Saul's house, I'm not, no spoilers here, but Saul's house in so-called McLean, Virginia, is clearly a house in Leon's neighborhood. That is Pasadena, and they have both interiors, Leon, and exteriors. So you would really enjoy it. Maybe if you, well, you're not allowed to come over here, but I don't want to have paper another anyway. If you look at some of the stills online from the series finale, you'll see standing inside a Pasadena home. But one of, again, without spoiling anything, she has to like make a big decision, which is whether or not she's going to kill Saul. And, you know, because there's a war in Pakistan that could happen. Anyway, it gets very complicated. So you might want to have known, Leon, that there was a Russian kill team staked out in your neighborhood. They were parked in front of Saul's house. Like it got hairy there for a while. And that's all clearly Pasadena. So thank you. I wouldn't have appreciated that quite so much if I hadn't been looking out to which part of this is could have been the house in Leon's neighborhood. Anyway.
Oh, that's good. That's fun to know. Yeah, that's fun to know.
So I don't know how many of you watch Homeland. I personally was very satisfied with the way it wrapped up. Very surprising, powerful, but really good ending. So I will just leave it at that. I recommend it if you ever have. It's 8 seasons. You know, if we're really in the current unpleasantness for the long haul, you can start at the beginning now. So totally up to you. There you go.
Or you can just watch Cherry Blossoms. One or the other.
Or you can watch the Cherry Blossoms.
Russian kill teams, Cherry Blossoms.
Well, I just want to let people know that next week is our best beach bag book show. I know it's ironic now. Who knew that title would be ironic? Because many of us won't be allowed to go to our own beaches, but that's okay. We're still plowing ahead with our picks for great books to put in your beach bag, even if you never leave your house this summer. And so I've been reading a ton. We have recommendations from all the sisters. I've been doing my best to find some titles that maybe you wouldn't find yourself. And I'm very excited because we have an interview with Greer Hendricks and Sarah Pekkanen, who are the authors who write a lot of great thrillers that you've probably read, but their new book, You Are Not Alone, is out now. They're a writing team, like a novel writing team, which intrigues me. So, and I'll let you in, like we taped this episode with them. We taped the interview with them the day their book tour started, which was March 4th. And I think their book tour ended March 5th. So it was kind of fun to go back and listen to this particular interview. I re-listened just to make sure we could still play it. And it's just a delight and a joy. So that is on next week's show. That's our best beach bag book show next week. So if you're looking for a reading for the summer, we got you covered next week.
Yeah, I think people need a lot of new good books, whether or not they're going to read them at the beach. So this will be great.
We also are including this year, for the first time, we're expanding our definition. We're including some podcasts that you might enjoy. So we're doing some early listening and some research on some podcast series that you might enjoy as well as books. A big thanks to Sergio Enriquez. He's our engineer. We miss seeing you, Sergio. You're quiet. You're quiet there, Sergio. We barely hear you talking in the background. We miss you. All right, sisters. It's Cinco de Mayo. Anyone celebrating on our to-do list? Anyone's got a Cinco de Mayo party happening?
Yeah.
You do?
I do. Here, you know, trying to support local food operations. A local place near me that I love was making Cinco de Mayo, like, dinner for two available. And obviously, I'm only dinner for one. But as I've said, this is what happens. You end up with dinner for two. You eat for two because you have dinner for two. But in this case, I think I'll be fine. So I have a vegan Cinco de Mayo basket I'm getting, which is vegan pozole, vegan enchiladas, and then the delicious, you know, street corn and rice and an LA style street cart spicy fruit salad. So all of that will be great and savable for tomorrow's lunch. But it also comes with two shots of Lunazul tequila. So,
ooh, Liz, are going to be having a party.
I might just leave the two shots of tequila in Liz's tasting window and see if any of my, maybe Deborah and Bernard would each like a shot of tequila. I'm not really a shot of tequila girl, but anyway, so I'm going to have a little spare, but that's my to-do list for tonight is pick up my Cinco de Mayo dinner.
Liz, that's funny. Like fun.
Yeah.
How about you, Liam? What's on
you can always just dump that tequila in some lime juice with a little bit of something and make your own margarita. That's you can do that too.
Okay.
You know what? Mine is also cooking related. I am a very lucky person because I am blurbing. Claire Tansey's new cookbook. She sent me a copy of, you know, she's the one that wrote Uncomplicated. She's appeared on many shows, including Cooking with Liz. People love Claire's cookbook here. And so she's bringing out a new cookbook in the fall called Dinner Uncomplicated. So I spent a fantastic 2 hours this weekend just reading her cookbook, just enjoying her writing is so warm and fun. And you learn so much when you read a really good cookbook and study the recipes. And so this week I'm making a bunch of dinners before I actually blurb it. I'm going to make some of Claire's new recipes in the cookbook and looking forward to that, including a scallop recipe. I have really been struggling with my scallops, but I think Claire has solved the problem for me with
Looking
forward
to that. All right. I'm very sad I can't come over for that.
I know. Sad. I know. Too bad.
And Julie, how about you? What's on your to-do?
Well, you know, I'm here at Nana Academy, and it dawned on me that it's Mother's Day this weekend, which means that at Nana Academy, even though it's not on my assignments tablet, that I really have responsible for making some cute Mother's Day craft with Peter. But I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, I have a box of ziti and some cooking twine. And so I was thinking of like a macaroni necklace. Yeah. I don't know. But I need a Mother's Day craft pretty darn quick because I think that's part of what you do in kindergarten is you come home on the Friday before Mother's Day with some adorable Mother's Day craft. Right? Yeah, that's what you do.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't go
wrong with the necklace.
As long as you've got
I don't know. I proposed it. Peter thought it was ridiculous. He thought that was a ridiculous idea. I think that was the word he used too. So I don't know. If you know of a cute craft, let me know. But we do want to wish all the mothers out there, all the moms to be, all the moms, the grandmoms. We know that many of you cannot be with your family. You can't in person get all the love and appreciation that you deserve on your Mother's Day. But Satellite Sisters, we're sending it to you because moms are great, right?
Yes, they are. Happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day.
All right, sisters, have a great week.
Okay, you too, Leon.
Don't forget, call your satellite sister.